I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
You equals you. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello and welcome to the 5 Yard Rush Daily Fantasy Sports Show. I'm Mark Ferguson and tonight we're talking all things NFL on Fan Team. I'm joined as ever by Nick Owen. Nick, how are you doing?
All good, Mark. All good. Thank you very much for asking.
And if you're watching, you can see we're joined by an old friend of the pod, Jack Humphrey. Feels like I was just talking to you yesterday about NFL, Jack.
Well, yeah, it does. you've had me back on again, but thank you, boys. I'm honoured to be back, even with my bit of man flu.
Yeah, it added extra ingredients today. Yeah, so we all had a lot of fun talking on Twitter Spaces last night, didn't we, about this Thanksgiving slate, which is currently going on. Jack, I think, is watching it, and it's not inspiring at the moment, is it, Jack?
No, neither did the halftime show, actually. It was, it wasn't great. I just muted the telly when that was on. What is this? Muted the telly and went and made a cup of tea.
So because the schedule is slightly different, we've got a slightly different running order today. So firstly, we're going to talk, Nick will be talking about his winning lineup from last week's exclusive 5 Yard Rush contest on Fantasy. Congratulations for that, Nick.
Thank you very much. And despite what the people say, it was not a rig up. I did win it with pure talent and skill in the end, it seems. No.
That's what people always say about you, Nick. Pure talent and skill. Then we'll very briefly be talking about season-long games. There's actually week 12 already locked today at 4:30 in the afternoon, so we won't be doing masses of analysis on that. And then we're going to, all together, all three of us, are going to create a lineup for this Sunday's Red Zone contest, which features all the 6 p.m. and the 9 p.m. games. So it's a 10-game slate, which is nice. But before we start all that, I have some really exciting news. The 5 Yard free roll is back. So after disappearing for a week, it is back. And you'll find the link in the description for the video. And also, we'll be posting it all over socials from now until Sunday. But here's the quick tale of the tape. It's a £300 prize pool, £100 for first prize, and 5 entries per user. So can't wait for this. Nick, I think you peaked a little bit too early winning last week. This is the one to win.
Yeah, it seems to be that this week is the one to win, Mark, though I'm not going to complain at the week that I actually won. But fantastic. Obviously, last week we had the £1 entry, which I thought was a great opportunity in itself to get on there, have a go, see if you can win some money against a smaller field than what you might come up against in the fumble or in the 6 p.m. red zone contest. But yeah, this week we're back to free roll, 5 entries. So massive opportunity there. Hopefully this will help people decide on who they're going to be inserting into the lineups this week. And you never know, you might be topping the leaderboard like I did.
So
can we just say, Mark, I didn't just top the leaderboard. I came first and third.
We can't say that. Don't worry, Nick.
A real pro would end at the same lineup 5 times, Nick.
Yeah, that is very true.
Yeah, because that's not been done before.
Yeah, it's nice that this win has made you so modest.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. You know, you don't lose that modesty, really, even when you come into some money, do you?
Some money.
Well, it is okay. Some money. I didn't say a lot of money. I said some.
So I feel like the next bit, which I've written already, is kind of redundant now. So, Nick, last week you won first place in our 5-yard rush contest with a score of 194.84. Our own Rich Cooling, Dynasty Island, who was your replacement, Nick, when you were on paternity leave, he was second with 188. And then, just to show off, Nick was third as well. But I feel like I didn't really need to say that or write it because you already said most of that. But shout out to Rich, because this is Rich's first year playing DFS and he's done fantastically well so far. It doesn't surprise me. He's really good at rankings on a weekly basis. He does the he's in Fantasy Pros. He's Mr. Consistent. He's like, I think he's in the 70s or something for the whole season or something. So, you know, he's really good. Well, and yeah.
The thing is, Matt, you came fourth and Jack snuck in there at seventh as well. So amidst the top 10, given I had 2 placings and you guys had placings, we've actually got 40% of the top 10 on the show this week. So what more could you ask for in terms of expert advice amongst the 3 of us?
Indeed. It's like, but, you know, I would say in my case, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again. So, and that's a phrase I'd like to be able to use in context every week. But there you go. So Nick, are you going to tell us about it then? Your winning lineup, and so the people who are watching can copy it, replicate it, and beat you this week.
Yeah, go on. So there was a specific game that I targeted with both the lineups. So the one that won had a stack of Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and I had Devontae Adams in there as well for the correlation. So Devontae Adams obviously went off, Jefferson went off, Thielen had a game above expectation, Cousins had a really good game. I had Chubb in there. I think Chubb was about 45% owned, which still, or 48% owned from what I can see. So clearly need my eyes testing. So even still, that felt low owned given his price and given he was coming up against the Lions. I had Gesicki in there. David Montgomery didn't really do much at all. As is the case this evening, it seems as well. And I had the Browns in at defense. The one that I think tipped me over the edge, though, which was the super low owned 5%, the Prophet Elijah Moore from the Jets, absolutely flew. Great we spoke show. About him. Spoke about him on the Spaces. 29.6 points. That I think that's the one that tipped me over the edge. He had a massive touchdown run. And that just catapulted me up because the thing is as well with Moore, because of his price, I was able to actually squeeze him into both lineups. So the lineup that came third had fairly similar players. I had Adams, I had Moore, I had Gesicki. The difference in that lineup, I slotted Rodgers in rather than Cousins. Still went big at receiver. I had McLaurin, I had Diggs. You could afford to do that because it was a good week to go cheaper at running back, I think, last week. And the running backs really performed. So I had Myles Gaskin in there, who turned out it wasn't a trap after all, and he did return value. I had AJ Dillon in there, and the really strongly performing Philadelphia Eagles defense did me a solid and turned up with 11 points, which again we spoke about on the spaces. So they looked like almost too obvious, the lineups, when I look back at them. I mean, the Vikings stack having both the receivers there is a brave one, I think. But I've said it before, we've spoke about it before, you know, weeks and weeks ago we were on about double stacking with the Bengals receivers. I think if you've got a team like that and you've got two weapons, having both of them, it is a little bit of a differential. Because Thielen was only 14% owned, Jefferson was only 21% owned. So you, straight away, you're ahead of 80% of the field if they have a good game. So it didn't seem that sort of, like, when you look at the lineup on paper, you think, oh yeah, that's a pretty easy lineup to construct, and it was. But I think it's because there was a lot of value there that did return, the likes of Elijah Moore, the likes of, you know, Gaskin, and the defenses did well as well.
Gaskin was quite low owned, wasn't he? Actually, if you're looking back at it, he was 18% owned. Considering the matchup, it was quite low. I thought it had been the chalk, to be fair, on that slate.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we said, didn't we, that, you know, the Jets, was it something like 11 touchdowns against running backs they conceded in like the last 5 weeks or something? It seemed too obvious a play, and I don't know if that's what put people off, because we spoke about it on the spaces that Gaskin's not had a good season. But at the end of the day, it was the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, until we got in that end zone, I was raging on Twitter. I was like, if he doesn't get in the end zone here, I am dropping. Like all formats, like Dynasty and Redraft, I was like, I am dropping this guy. I'm going to make him someone else's problem. Because it's just infuriating me. And then he got in. So I did a little dance around my living room.
So your lineup had two great pieces of correlation in, didn't they? The Minnesota Green Bay game, and then the Jets or the Dolphins. As well.
Yeah, it was just mainly targeting them two games. The other guys who I slotted in were, we've spoke about people being like matchup proof, quarterback proof. You know, Terry McLaurin comes in with a 21.3. Thank you very much. Diggs had another decent week at 18.3. Thank you very much. I'll take that. Jack's obviously a big AJ Dillon supporter, flew the AJ Dillon flag very highly, and I wasn't ignoring him at the price last week. Absolutely not. 15.7. I'm happy with that return. I mean, what can I say? It was a good week. I was really only the Panthers chasing the game against Washington. I think I'd have actually finished 1-2. I think McCaffrey had some plays late on in that game that might have pushed Rich just ahead of me into second, but I can't complain. 1-3, can I?
I think it's a great example of what's happened with you last week. Is if you correlate your lineups like that, you have to get less things right to do well. So you just had to get that game, the Minnesota Green Bay game, just had to go off in the way you want to. And then suddenly, because of the nature of, they've both got such concentrated target trees, then you know if the game goes off, this is where the ball's going.
Yeah.
You know, and that there's not always a game like that every week that's so obvious like that as that one is. But that's a great example of it and stuff. And then if Gaskins is doing well, chances are Jets are having to pass a lot, etc. So Elijah Moore does well, as you know. And that really was, for me, I think the Elijah Moore pick is what's basically won you that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, he at 5% as well, that's fantastic.
Oh yeah, if you can get someone in who's gonna give you almost 30 points with 5% ownership, then especially at his price. I mean, my God, you put someone in like that and what you can spend across the rest of your lineup then. It almost looks like, looking back, especially the lineup that has the lineup that had the two Vikings receivers plus Adams plus Chubb, you look back at that lineup and you think that shouldn't have been possible to build that lineup, really. You shouldn't have had enough funds to put that lineup together. But playing the likes of Elijah Moore, if you can hit them on the right week, you know, that is key to success, as you said, Mark.
It's like Josh Reynolds tonight, isn't it? He's got into the end zone tonight, and
yeah,
just the ownership, like, it's like 5% or something. So he's got in the end zone. He's already returned the value. You're already ahead of the game, like other people in the contest. So
yeah, a perfect example, Jack. Yeah, Reynolds. I mean, what is he on? What's his ownership on Fan Team? I've sort of completely switched off from that game because DeAndre Swift went out. But I mean, he's 30% on Fan Team, but. I mean, even still, you're happy at 30% if he's got 16 points as yeah. it stands now. You're happy at 30% there with 16 points for a guy that's costing, what, 5-6 million, was he? So
yeah, exactly. I've got him as a vice-captain tonight in one of my lineups in the satellite. And, yeah, he's on 19.2 points. So this is great, great value pick.
Yeah.
So, and also, don't forget, that's 30% in showdown. You can't really compare that to a 5% receiver in a full lineup and stuff. So basically, the moral for everybody watching here is if Nick can win this, you can win this this week.
Absolutely. And I don't usually win this contest. If I do anything, it's usually in the fumble. So the fact that I was able to come through in the 6 p.m. one, anyone can do it. Literally anyone can do it.
I know. So, we'll move on quickly just to our season-long talk. As I said earlier, this is already locked, so we're not really giving much advice for Week 12 because it's too late. I can tell people probably what they shouldn't have done because three of my four teams have CeeDee Lamb in it. And one of those three teams also has DeAndre Swift, who's gone out tonight. But obviously, we didn't know he was going to go out, so that wasn't a bad play. But yeah, so my pod team is actually the one I've been following all season is become a bit of a shambles this week because that's the one with Swift and CeeDee Lamb in it. So, yeah, I don't probably not much point me talking any further about that. Jack, do you want to say anything about your season long at the moment?
Yeah, I took a bit of a hit last week. So I had Hollywood Brown in the team. Obviously, it was a game time decision, didn't go. I also left Cup in there because I didn't want to take that. I just thought I'd just take the hit on Cup for that week. And obviously he was on a bye last week. So yeah, I was in the money. I've dropped out of the money. I didn't drop a lot. I dropped down about 60 to 70 places, something like that. But I've bought Michael Gallup in because I've got Dak as my QB. So that didn't help last week either because Dak had a bad game last week as well. So he also brought this lineup down. But I did have Jonathan Taylor and the Patriots defense in this lineup as well. So but I bought Michael Gallup in for Hollywood Brown this week. I had a free transfer, so I've just done the straight swap there. Gallup should see some targets tonight in this game. A lot of targets with Lamb out, and it looks like I've made the correct decision there. So let's see how it plays out. Hopefully Dak gets right this week. He was brutal last week for me in this lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about him a little bit more when we're building our lineup. And we talked about him last night as well, didn't we? We're pretty confident in Dak this week. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Nick, what about yourself?
My season-long, certainly my pod team is in the mud. I don't know how, but respectably, it only dropped to 512, which I think the only reason it dropped to 512 is that Jonathan Taylor basically managed to tread water for the weekend. I had Marquise Brown, so I fell foul there. I also had Lamar Jackson at quarterback. I fell foul there. So that's two players that scored absolutely nothing. But then on top of that, I had CeeDee Lamb turning a 4.4. Everyone else did okay. Chase had 13, Gesicki had 10, Mike Evans had 20. So the rest of the team and Harris didn't do too badly. It's only for Jonathan Taylor having a 53-point week, and I can't believe last week he was still only 43% owned at that point. It's only for that happening that I've not dropped hundreds and hundreds of spaces. Actually, it's only ended up being, I think, about 150-ish maybe. Some of my teams actually managed to... I feel like I had a group of teams around sort of 700-600, about three teams, and some of them have jumped up to sort of 400-300. I'm doing quite well in a few of the other teams. They're sort of primed for a good run at it towards the end of the season now, but the pod team is absolutely in the mud, and even more so because of the changes that I made. So
we might have to, for next week, Nick, we might have to swap what is our pod teams. So I've got a team which is 88th and a team which is like 104.
I mean, really, we should be talking about the teams that are higher up as opposed to the pod team. But this has been a season long story for us. It's the same teams we've had in. We've spoke about the moves we've made. But I've fallen foul again this week. CD Lamb news came out really late that he was going to be out. By that point, I had already taken out Hollywood Brown and put in DeAndre Swift, who has just disappeared. I think he's having his turkey in the dressing room or something. I don't know.
The injury didn't even look that bad tonight. It didn't. I don't know what he's done, but it didn't look a bad injury.
So, I saw something on Twitter about it maybe being collarbone related, which can be a painful one, but who knows? All I know is he's come in and he's scored 3.9, and that's absolutely curtains for me. I then took out, I thought, well, I've got a free transfer. I had the Raiders D. Don't really like that because I think it will be a bit of a shootout game this tonight. Either that or the Cowboys win. I can't see the Raiders doing much. So I switched it to San Francisco, who've been getting hot recently. And then obviously the Lamb news came out. So I've had to use another transfer. So -8 on the pod team. I've just brought Pittman in because, again, he's been playing well recently. But I really needed a good showing from certainly Swift and Pittman to justify what I've done this week. And it started absolutely diabolically. The season long is looking like it's in the bin for me.
Well, the great thing about this is we can just forget about it now because it's done. You can't change anything. And we can focus on Sunday. But before we do that, Nick, do you want to talk about a subject which is very close to Jack's heart or his chest?
Very close to his chest, I think. Very it close seems to from his chest. Social media, it looks like, anyway.
Oh dear.
It looks like Jack has actually invested in the Lawnmower 4.0, looking at his Twitter. That's what it looks like anyway. Said he's had one free off me. I don't recall giving him one. I think you've bought one there, Jack, unless that's some kind of something that slipped my mind. But no, support for all 5 Yard Rush podcasts, especially this one, as we do love it, is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in below the waist grooming, even for men, of course. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for those all important family jewels. Recently launched the fourth generation trimmer, Lawnmower 4.0, all across Europe. If you want to see what this fantastic tool can do, at Jack Humphrey KM on Twitter, you will see the finished product. But no, in all seriousness, get yourself over to manscaped.com. Code 5YARD at the checkout will get you 20% off and free worldwide shipping. So go and do yourselves a favor. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. 5YARD at the checkout, 20% off and free worldwide shipping. Enough talk about Manscaped and Jack's chest, for that matter, Mark.
indeed. So it's so nice you came on tonight, Jack. It's just so good.
Perfect timed guest appearance.
Okay. So what we're gonna do now is we're gonna build our team, just to let people know, as well as our exclusive 5 Yard Rush free roll on Fan Team this weekend. There is Sunday Red Zone contests, which again are both the 6 PM and 9 PM. games. There's a €7,500 prize pool in one of the contests that has got a €12 entry, and there's a €2,500 prize pool in the €2 entry. So lots of great options on Fan Team this weekend. I'm going to share my screen and we're going to build a lineup together. I've been entering these lineups every week so far into the Fan Team contest. Can we see that okay? Good, yeah, we can. And we're still yet to win one, Nick.
This is the week.
So there you go. This is the exclusive 5 Yard.
This is the week. We got four of the top 10 placings from last week. It surely has to be the week. If this stable can't build a winning lineup here, I don't know what can.
Just enter this lineup 100 times.
Yeah. 5 minutes before kickoff. Before we do build the lineup, Mark, I think it's just worth mentioning that if you've not already seen, I know it's not NFL related, but Fan Team have launched a second chance for the EPL season long. We spoke about in the off season about the EPL contest. I know we all play it. Most people that listen to our pod, we've got a lot of FPL followers now. So if you've not already seen it, go and get yourselves over to Fan Team. It is free to enter. And there's a massive prize pot to be had, especially if you've fallen behind in the season-long game. It's a good second bite of the apple. And exciting news this week that the golf is headed to Fan Team. We cannot wait. I know you definitely can't, Jack, but it's an exciting time to get involved with Fan Team.
It certainly is. I'm looking forward to what they've got up their sleeve for golf. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Cannot wait.
He's looking forward to winning. That's what it is. he's looking forward to taking our money. But anyway, that's for another show. Let's start with this week 12 lineup. So as ever, we'll start with the quarterback position. Tom Brady is the most expensive, followed by Justin Herbert and then Jalen Hurts. I think there's so many options here this week. What do you reckon, Jack? Who are you interested in?
So I've built five lineups for your contest already this week. And I found that straight away. This week is, for me, a lot better than last week. I found it easier to build teams this week. I really like Kirk Cousins this week against the San Francisco 49ers. And I think people need to put a bit of respect on Kirk Cousins' name. Like, he's just not, like, if you say Kirk Cousins to someone, he's just not a trendy pick, is he? He's not, oh, it's Kirk Cousins. Like, the guy has been producing this season for fantasy, and I mean the 49ers, what they, I think they're 24th against opposing, yeah, they're 24th against opposing quarterbacks on the season. So the matchups, there's nothing to fear here. The game itself has a bit of shootout potential. I think we can see a little bit of a shootout potential here, so we're going to get a high score. I really like Kirk Cousins, and you're getting a bit of a discount from the guys above. And you know, a lot of people go back to Matthew Stafford. Nick, I know you're a Rams fan, but Stafford hasn't been particularly great. The Rams haven't been particularly great in the last 2 weeks, have they?
No, they've not. I wouldn't touch Stafford this week. It's a tough matchup, that, on the road. It's Green Bay, it's going to be cold after a bye. I just wouldn't go there.
I think you're getting a bit of a discount with the guys above. I do like Jalen Hurts, but that game against the Giants, I fancy the Eagles to get up very quickly and early in that game. And the Eagles have been running the ball a hell of a lot recently. And when we get onto running backs, I actually really like Miles Sanders this week as well against the Giants.
So I think you're right. I agree with you about this game, this Vikings 49ers game, I think could be another great. I think Cousins has only thrown two interceptions all year.
Yeah, he's been really good. People need to put respect in his name.
Yeah. And Jefferson just doesn't matter if he's playing man, zone, if he's getting shadowed. He just seems to be. He hasn't dropped off with his second year, which nobody is. I don't think he's getting enough credit for. Mm. So yeah, I'm with you on that, Jack. What do you think, Nick? You got other people you've got your eye on?
Yeah. I was actually pleasantly surprised at Cam Newton's showing last week. I didn't expect that showing from him. I know it wasn't spectacular, but a couple of touchdowns. I think he completed like 21 of his 27 passes for close to 200 yards. He finished up with, I think it was around 25, 26 points, was it? But I just like the matchup there this week. The Dolphins in the last 5 weeks have given up the fourth most fantasy points to this position, and the fifth most to wide receivers as well. So if you're going to start someone like Cam Newton, I do think that looking at someone like a DJ Moore as a cheap stack at 14.5 is reasonably priced this week. So I wasn't on Cam Newton last week. I wanted to see a week of him starting and see what the arm was like. It might not have been the Cam Newton of old, but he didn't look bad. And I think Miami, they're not as good a defense as, you know, how Washington have been performing in recent weeks, certainly. So I like that. On the flip side of the Kirk Cousins coin, I think if you've got the opportunity to enter multi-entries, if you're going to throw a Kirk Cousins lineup in, you might as well just throw a Jimmy Garoppolo lineup in as well, I think. Again, stacks well with the likes of Debo, who I'm sure we'll come to when we speak about the receivers. But I say this every week. I don't really like recommending Jimmy as a pick, but he just keeps ticking over the lad. He just keeps steady scoring 15, 16 points a week. The odd peak where it might be around the sort of 20 region. But again, it's a good matchup for him against the Vikings. Conceded third most fantasy points to quarterbacks again in the last 5 weeks. So it's a similar kind of matchup to what Cam Newton's coming up against in terms of what's in front of him and historical points they've allowed. You know, he's cheap, and we've seen from going cheap in recent weeks at quarterback, it allows you to really stack the skill positions elsewhere. So I don't mind him at that price. I think if you're going to put a Kirk Cousins lineup in, you know, stick yourself a Jimmy G lineup in, because the game's going to go one way or the other, or it could be a shootout, in which case both lineups could be relevant come the end of the 6 PM games.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think.
Or the 9 PM games, even.
Yeah, picking a cheap quarterback makes me. There's a question I wanted to ask both of you. We've got two very interesting games this week in terms of we have four of the worst teams in two of the games, don't we? We've got Jacksonville against Atlanta and Houston against the Jets. And I'm wondering, and we'll start with you, Nick, are you interested in any players on that team, on those games at all? The reason I'm bringing this up now is because if you are, Matt Ryan, I think, is very good value.
Yeah, I think if there was anyone, certainly at quarterback, I'd probably be looking at Matt Ryan. I don't really like Tyrod Taylor. Whoever the Jets are going to roll out at quarterback, I mean, that could be anyone. I mean, Houston looked half decent last week defensively against the Titans. It's a tough one, this, I think, because of these four teams. You look at some of the matchups you could exploit, and it just doesn't really feel like there's the players there to exploit. You know, like, we know that the Jets are so bad this season against running backs, but then Houston don't have anything in the backfield that you would think would trouble them. Yeah. The Falcons, yeah, I like Matt Ryan, and you've got some nice stacks there, especially if you're going to play the likes of Kyle Pitts. But yeah, I don't know with those games this week. Elijah Moore, again, I do quite like Moore at his price yet again this week. If I was going to play anyone from those games, he'd probably be the top of my list.
What about you, Jack? Are you touching anybody from those games, or...?
I'm going to disagree with Nick on Matt Ryan. I don't like that game for Matt Ryan at all. The Jags defense has got a bit of a swagger about it as of late. I know they got turned over by Jimmy G last week, but I think there was a lot more running in that game. And, you know, there was a lot of Kyle Shanahan's just a great offensive mind anyway. But the last 2 weeks, the Jags have only given up the ninth against opposing quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks. As I said, they got a bit of swagger about him. Matt Ryan's not. Outside of Kyle Pitts, what else is there? I mean, is
Patterson will be back.
If he's back, then maybe I like Ryan a little bit more. But I personally would be avoiding all of them games. And the only thing that I would agree with you on Moore a little bit, Nick, but I'm also wary of that, because if you look at the stats with Moore when Wilson plays, they're not pretty.
Is Wilson back this week? Is he?
Yeah, it's going to be Wilson back at the quarterback. They're not pretty
interesting. So normally we'd like to sort of play target those defenses of all of those four teams, generally speaking. But obviously they're all playing each other, and then it comes down to, is a bad offense better than a bad defense? And
The Jets. I'm playing the Jets defense against Houston.
We'll come to defense. Well, we're not quite at the defenses yet, Jack. It's almost as if you've never been on the show before.
You were mentioning defenses in them games, and I am all over the Jets defense this week. Yeah.
So we need to pick ourselves a quarterback. I think it's pretty obvious to me which one we're going to go with, but let's see.
It's Cousins for me.
Yeah, I'm happy with Cousins there as well.
I think it's Cousins. I do. So we'll move on to the running backs. Again, Christian McCaffrey, almost over $2 million more expensive than Jonathan Taylor in the second position. Second highest player, then Austin Eckler, Najee Harris, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, some great options here at the top. but quite a bit of a price difference between McCaffrey to Joe Mixon. So, Jack, what do you think?
I'm never writing Jonathan Taylor off again. I think the guy is the guy is matchup proof. The Bucks have been a bit suspect to running backs as well as of late. I know they don't give up a lot on the ground, but pass catching backs, which Jonathan Taylor is, they give up quite a bit of yardage to pass catching backs. So, the guy is matchup proof. I'm not going to talk anyone off of playing Jonathan Taylor. I'm certainly going to have him in lineups this week. I'm not falling foul to that 56 point game or whatever it was marked last week.
He comes at a price though. He does come price, and you have to make some sacrifices somewhere else.
I think you can sacrifice on the running backs on the second option. My value option is Miles Sanders against the Giants.
Mm.
No Jordan Howard this week.
Yeah. Nobody knows about the Giants' failings more than you, do they, Jack? So,
we could have a long podcast talking about the Giants. I really don't want to go down that route. They are terrible. Their last 2 weeks ranked 22nd against opposing running backs. They're just on the season. They're 28th against opposing running backs. They're just terrible all around, the Giants. And the Eagles want to run the ball. They've made a go at it the last sort of 3 weeks. They want to run the ball. And Miles Sanders looked good last week. The only issue with Miles Sanders is he has a fumble in him every now and then. He had one last week. So you have to be, that always has to come into play, and you have to be wary of it and what you're going to get from Boston Scott. But like I say, there is no Jordan Howard this week.
So, Nick, have you got any interest in Christian McCaffrey at $23 million?
Well, I feel like he was a bit written off last week, wasn't he? Because of Cam coming in, I think people expected Cam to hawk some of his goal line work and take away some of his touches. But he comes out absolutely swinging again, McCaffrey, and puts in a 24.9 off the back of a 26.1 the week before. I still wouldn't go there with the price. I don't think you can justify really paying $2 million more for him over, let's say, a Jonathan Taylor, for example. But I don't think, like, I haven't got a problem with people who want to play him. I think the whole Cam Newton is going to sort of like shark some of his goal line touches thing. Yeah, it's going to happen because we know that that's what Cam Newton does. But McCaffrey's so involved in how the Panthers play and run the ball. Like, the whole playbook is basically built around Christian McCaffrey. So he's a bit too pricey for me. I've got no interest in owning him, but if people want to own him, I do think the whole Cam Newton coming back thing was not a myth, isn't the right word, but I think he's still going to perform because he's still the best and biggest part of that offense. The one that has really caught my eye this week, and I'm glad to say that this week in terms of the running backs, it looks a better field than it did last week. Looking down this list, I can probably go down as far as maybe, you know, James Robinson, maybe Darrell Henderson before I start getting bored of the names that are popping up. But I really like Joe Mixon this week. I know you just touched on him there, Matt, when you were listing the players. He's been absolutely firing in the last few weeks. He's not scored 30 anything. Touches,
30 rushes last week, wasn't it?
Not scored anything under... Well, there's the week where he was just under 25, but everything else has been 25 and above in the last 3 weeks. I think I've mentioned it before, but Steelers' Achilles heel is the run D is not great. They've given up 7 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks against running backs. And when you look at Mixon as well, I mean, he had a lot of touches last week, but the weeks prior to that, he wasn't getting as many touches, but he was getting targets. So he had 2 consecutive weeks of 5 targets as well. So involved in that side of things. I do like the value there, 17.4 for Mixon this week. My only concern is the game script. You need a Bengals lead, I think, in this one. There's some of the games this season, some of the important games where they've come up against better opposition, they've, for want of a better term, they've crapped the bed a little bit. I just hope it hope they don't do that against the Steelers this week because it's a big divisional game. So yeah, it's that would be my only concern is if the Bengals go behind, does Joe Burrow get gunslinger happy? But I think if they can get an early lead, Mixon's an absolutely great play at 17.4.
I think he's kind of in some respects game script proof. He's involved in the passing game as well, Mixon. So I think he's a great play. He's actually my favourite value here on Fan Team because you know he's like almost 6 million less than McCaffrey.
Yeah,
so it's like 25% less. I think he's great value. I was interested in Daryl Henderson though, but I wonder if I'm interested because I'm still remembering Daryl Henderson at the beginning of the season rather than where he was before the bye.
The thing with Daryl Henderson is McVay sometimes just abandons the run too quickly. We've seen it in games, I think, against the Cardinals. We were absolutely gashing the Cardinals up for about 8 or 9 yards per carry, and all of a sudden he just decided he wasn't really going to run the ball anymore. He was going to start throwing it. I would just be a little bit wary of Daryl Henderson. He's going to have good weeks, absolutely. But this week in Green Bay, I don't know. I just think it's a tough matchup all round that for the Rams. I'm not expecting any. It should be the kind of performance where they bounce back from two losses and show people what they're made of. But I'm just really, really not confident in them this week. I'm 10% confident.
So looking at the second page of running backs, a couple of questions I've got, and Jack, I'll go to you with this. Are you interested, if Elijah Mitchell is starting, are you interested in him or Jeff Wilson, say, if he doesn't? And also, what about David Johnson and Rex Burkhead? Burkhead had 18 carries last week, and they're against the Jets.
I'm going to start with Rex Burkhead. No, I'm not interested. He averaged like 2.4 yards per carry or something. He was, I mean, it was just awful. Like you said, 18 carries, I just, no. And then they go and cut Philip Lindsay. And I did put out a tweet. I was like, yeah, they must have been really happy with him. 18 carries, they gave Rex Burkhead last week like, for 38 yards or whatever it was. Just absolutely ridiculous. I get it. The matchup's brilliant. It's a great matchup, but I just think Tyrod the takeaway from that as well. The Texans just don't have a run game, do they? Back to the 49ers, guys. Yeah, the 49ers want to run the ball. They're a running first offense. They want to run the ball. So if either of them two go, well, Wilson will go, but if Mitchell goes, you play Mitchell because he's the starter there, right?
Yeah. I think they're great price. I really do. And again, it's a good correlation against if you're going to play a Minnesota stack, which I think we're going to end up with. Definitely. What about you, Nick? Anybody on the second page you're interested in?
I mean, I was saying about the first page looks, it's kind of reading this week. The second page, I think, looks a little bit grim. I've probably... Ty Johnson or Tevin Coleman catch my eye a little bit on this page, but it's who gets the carries. That's the thing. They literally, Carter went out of the game last week and they both had 50-50 snaps. It was 20 snaps each. So it's who gets the snaps in that game. Not a lot I like on this second page, if I'm being brutally honest.
No interest in Stevenson of the Patriots.
If Harris isn't a go, then that is one of the names I just looked at. I don't know what the status is of Harris, but yeah, that would be.
He's trending towards playing at the moment. That's the last thing I heard.
Because they're another team. I know Mac Jones has been good, but the Patriots want to run the ball. They'll deploy their running backs in on the goal line all the time. You've seen it. You know, Bill Belichick's not afraid to do that. So they do offer some upside value for me.
As of, it's not updated today, but as of yesterday, Harris was limited at practice as a participant, so could be one to keep an eye on, because if he is out, absolutely I'd be putting Ramondre Stevenson in definitely.
Okay. So we need to pick some running backs here, and I think Joe Mixon for me, I think he's definitely my favorite play. Don't think either of you object to that particularly, do you?
No, I'm happy to go with Mixon.
Yeah.
And just one name before we do pick another, Mark. I don't just to get your views on it, guys. But what if he's good to go? He looks like he's got an orange marker against his name at the moment. But would we have any interest in James Robinson at 15.9 if he's good to go against the Falcons?
Yeah, the usage is there, isn't it? You get a solid usage with James Robinson. You kind of know what you're getting. It's a good matchup as well. The Falcons are terrible. So, yeah, there's a bit of interest.
Yeah, that's why that's the only reason I mention it, because I know that the matchup is a good one for him.
Yeah. I think it'd be low-owned as well.
I think he's a fly under the radar pick this week.
Yeah. I do like him.
Can I mention someone quickly? What about either of these Denver running backs? The Chargers, that's their Achilles heel. You run on the Chargers.
Yeah. It's just which one again, isn't it? I mean, generally, if you'd pick Melvin Gordon if you're going to pick one, wouldn't you? If you're forced to pick one.
Well, I would, I'd pick Melvin. He gets the touchdowns, doesn't he, Melvin?
Yeah.
Javonte's look better, but Melvin gets the touchdowns.
And he scores better as well, Melvin. The way I see it at the moment is these plays, the last few plays you mentioned, are not James Robinson, because he's like a bell cow almost for Jacksonville, but the others are sort of shares, you know, and I just wonder whether or not we need to do that with this lineup. Like, I think I personally would rather play Miles Sanders above Melvin Gordon.
Yep.
But equally, I'd be quite happy going up to James Robinson. I mean, God, Barkley is cheap, isn't he? If you think about it, for the amount of usage he's probably going to get.
Don't do it.
I know you don't want us to do it, but he is cheap. I think he is cheap.
Eagles' run D is good. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but he's a good running back.
We talk about matchup-proof players. I think Dalvin Cook at 18.6 presents good value yet again. I think he's another. I think you can play him against anyone.
Do you want to play him with the QB, though, the same QB?
I think he's fine for those sorts of stacks. He's one of the few. I think personally, I think you can have, if you have Cousins, Cook, and Jefferson, you're kind of covering everything.
Yeah, I think with the QB thing, because we brought this up on previous weeks, and I think the Tennessee Titans were the one that we pointed to say it works. There, you could start Tannehill, you could start Henry in the same week, because I think it works if you've got a team that has a running back that's going to touch the ball 25-30 times a week. So you need a bell cow for it to work, but I think that's what you're going to get from Cook. There's not really much of a snapshot there unless he pulls up on his hammy like he has done in the past.
I think it's another one of those, like we talk about concentrated target trees, there's almost a concentrated touchdown tree as well there in Minnesota. As in, it's going to be Cook or Jefferson, basically, I think. Well, you're going to be pretty safe if you do that through the whole year, you know. But it might be too expensive for us, I don't know.
It may be.
Especially if you want to add Jefferson in.
No interest in Eckler?
Oh, definitely interest. It's just the price of them again, isn't it? We can always leave this second space. We can not pick somebody now. We could come back to it.
Yeah.
I think it's a stacked field, I think, though. So I think maybe we look at the wide receivers and the tight ends, tidy them up, and then see where we're at, see what we've got funds-wise.
So Cooper Kupp is back, most expensive, unsurprisingly, 22.5. Then you've got Davante Adams and then Justin Jefferson. And a little bit of a drop, actually, between Adams and Jefferson there. And then Deebo Samuel, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I think the Tampa Bay boys are going to get a fair bit of ownership, I think, especially Godwin, because, you know, Brady throws the most passing touchdowns and Indianapolis have had the most against them passing touchdowns. So, but because for our lineup, I think we have to put Jefferson in before we really start talking about anything else, don't you?
Yeah, agreed.
It's just a no-brainer, even if he's been so good. Just been so good. So, Nick, who are you looking at?
Well, one to monitor for me is if you need to go cheaper, but you do want exposure to Tampa Bay, if Antonio Brown is good to go this week, he looks very cheap at 11.4. he's one of Brady's favourite targets when he plays. I don't know what it is. I'm obviously he's a really good receiver. He's not what he was once before, but he's looked really good when he started this season. Mm. Not played for weeks and weeks, but this is a position of weakness with the Colts defense. These wide receivers just score points week after week after week against them. So if he's good to go, I'd definitely be looking at including Antonio Brown in my lineup. Is this the Marvin Jones week, guys? Is this the week?
I can't believe it.
Is this the week?
He's MM Jones now.
Yeah, MM Jones, yeah. No, in all seriousness, Chenault Chenault at 11.
Yeah.
I think would be the play I'd go there. I actually like OBJ at 10.8 as well. He comes in now with that bye week behind him, hopefully a little bit more embedded in the offense, and that shiny new toy. There's always that novelty of the quarterback wants to get the ball to his shiny new toy as much as he can. I think he was thrown in a little bit at the deep end against the Niners, short notice game. But yeah, 10.8, I think that's... He could definitely return value there, especially with Robert Woods going down as well.
Jack, is there anybody on this first page, more expensive guys, which you've really got your eye on, you think is like an obvious
play? I was still on page two. I've got a little value play on page two.
Okay. We can do your value play first if you want. We've got to look at some of these expensive receivers at some point.
So my value play is at 10.7 million. Sorry, it's not T. Higgins this week, Mark. It is Tyler Boyd.
I haven't played T. Higgins for weeks.
I looked this up earlier. The Steelers get absolutely obliterated by slot receivers, and Tyler Boyd plays the majority of his snaps in the slot. He got going last week as well. I know the score there isn't particularly great, but he got used a little bit more last week. Got involved a little bit more. So yeah, I actually really like Tyler Boyd in that matchup against the Steelers. Yeah.
Fair enough. But you've got to talk about some expensive receivers, please, Jack. We've got to talk about these guys. It's got to be better picks.
I mean, Debo, just if you wanted to do a bring back with our stack, you could do it with Debo, I suppose. The guy is just, they're just using him everywhere. They're using him as a running back. He's just.
Yeah. That worked against him last week, didn't it, really?
Yeah.
One reception.
He did, but. Yeah, I don't know. He's just been brilliant this year for fantasy, and for me, that will be my go to. I'll be bringing Debo back on the bring back. Brandon Ayuk got in last week as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
Ayuk's one I've got my eye on this week. Yeah. Actually,
good price,
especially if you're gonna have a Jimmy lineup. I think there's the case again to play both Debo and Ayuk because, like you said, Jack, if Debo isn't going to be involved targets wise, they're using him everywhere. He's just like a Swiss Army wide receiver at the moment. It's like the Taysom Hill of wide receivers. He's just doing everything.
Taysom Hill does nothing though.
Well, he doesn't. That is correct. He somehow finds his way annoyingly into the end zone though, doesn't he? We know that. Shout out to Taysom Hill on Thanksgiving. Oh. Do not ruin my Thanksgiving. But absolutely.
I got likened to Taysom Hill yesterday by Fan Team on Twitter Spaces. So,
but yeah, I mean, Ayuk is another one that definitely catches my eye after his start, where Shanahan just seemed to absolutely slate him week after week. He's come to in recent weeks. 7 targets, 8 targets, 4, 7, couple of scores in there as well. 2 80-yard games, so. I like his price as well at 12.8, but I'm with you, Debo, absolutely. And I think if you're gonna have a Kirk Cousins, then obviously Justin Jefferson sneaks in there. The Justin Jefferson Thielen double up worked last week. It won't work every week. We've seen that Thielen tends to have the quieter games versus Jefferson. Jefferson seems to have the volume. I suppose that depends how brave you want to be.
I think actually from a stack point of view, the Garoppolo, Samuel, Debo and Ayuk is actually better value. And then maybe run it back with a Jefferson and a Cook if you were going to really game on slot.
Yeah.
Because Thielen's actually still 15.2. He's on the first page, quite expensive. Ayuka's obviously 12.8, so I think that's better value. And it gives you a chance. You've got more of a chance of both of them hitting value because obviously Ayuka is cheaper, so he doesn't have to score so much. But I put Debo in anyway because you both seem pretty sure about Debo. And we've got like 62.5, so about 12. But we've still got a DST and a tight end to put in. Do you want to put a third? Should we put a third receiver in whilst we're here? One of your cheaper guys?
A page two guy?
Page two guy. So our possible options were Odell, Marvin Jones. That's never going to happen. Tyler Boyd. Ayuk in theory, potentially. Elijah Moore's there again, but possibly not with Zach Wilson, a quarterback. So, yeah, I think, Jack, you can have the final choice here, I think.
You're going to let me have the final choice?
That's the final choice on the really bad receiver. It's like...
Nick might have just convinced me with Odell Beckham, but that game is going to be so cold in Green Bay, isn't it? This time of the year. Do you not just think both teams are going to run the hell out of the ball in that game?
It could happen. It could happen, but I think you've got Rodgers versus Stafford as well. I still think they're going to be airing that ball out unless it's absolutely teeming down with snow and we've got a foot of snow on the field. As cold as it might be, I still think we're going to see some ball through the air.
I do like Chenault as well. I just think they might use him as a Swiss Army knife in that game with Agnew out. And
he's not definitely going to play though this weekend, is he? At the moment, is he on the injury report somewhere?
If he is, then it's stick Tyler Boyd in.
I'm pretty sure he is. So we'll put Tyler Boyd in then.
Imagine we've got Mixon. I really don't. No. Do it. Just do it. I don't like doing that, but do it.
Meanwhile, we can change it. It's nothing set in stone. Let's move on to tight end, the favourite position of the show. Carl Pitts is the top tight end at 14.4. Then George Kittle and Dallas Goedert. Big jump down to Dallas Goedert at 11.3. Nick, what do you think here?
I like Pat Freiermuth. I never know if I'm even saying his name remotely right. Freiermuth. I have no idea. But Pat Freiermuth is the guy I've got my eye on this week. Simply because the Bengals have given up the second most fantasy points to this position in the last 5 weeks, and three touchdowns during that time as well. He just, with Juju going on IR, he just seems to have picked up the slack a little bit, Pat Freiermuth, and he's getting more and more involved, especially like in that sort of slot position. I know James Washington's had some extra looks as well, but I like him there. Fant's another one I like. Chargers don't give up a lot of yards to tight ends, but seem to give up scores to them. I think they've given up four in the last few weeks. And I think his advantage there is they don't give up a lot of yards to tight ends, but they're quite stacked at receiver, the Broncos, so that just might help his case in this game. If you're going to be really contrarian, I suppose you could throw Alberto in there. But I think for security, I'd probably rather play Fant of the two if I was going to go that way. But yeah, those are the two guys I like. I feel like we say his name every week, but Tyler Conklin, I think, is still reasonably priced. He's going to have those weeks where he dips in and out of the target share. It could be a week where he's in.
Yeah, he would go well with our stack. Jack, do you like anybody? Do you like any of the expensive tight ends this week?
Yeah, some of the guys we've mentioned. I wouldn't play Kyle Pitts this week. I'd play George Kittle over Kyle Pitts just because Kittle's got in the end zone three times in the last 3 weeks. I like Goddard as well. It's, you know, the Giants, just it's been an Achilles heel with the Giants for God knows about 6 years. They just get burned by tight ends. Just give up huge yardage to tight ends. But if I'm going to go cheap, I'm going to go back with Evan Ingram in that game.
I like that pick.
The Eagles have given up 9 touchdowns on the season. to opposing tight ends. In the last 2 weeks, they've given up the most yardage in 214 yards to tight ends. It's a brilliant matchup, and I think you get a nice value there. And the Giants have been so beat up at wide receiver.
I think it's an obvious pick matchup, and also the price here on Fantine. Yeah. I would just say, if you're in, I mean, I'm bizarrely interested in Gronk this week in my Brady stacks.
Brady did go to him a hell of a lot the other day.
Yeah, look, 671. So, like, but I think for this lineup, I think Ingram makes a great play. So there you go. So now we have to quickly do our DST. And we already know who you're playing, Jack. What price are the Jets?
They're cheap.
The Jets you're playing, yeah?
Yeah, the Texans are more expensive than the Jets. Yeah. And...
What I found weird when I saw this was that Denver were the cheapest defense. I found that a little bit odd. Unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I saw that and I thought, actually, at 6.4, that's not a bad play.
No, I like that.
I think because, as you said, we say all the time what a variable position it is. I'm tempted just to stick them in, and we'll just see if we can change it if we need to. But just take the money and spend it elsewhere.
I honestly don't think that is a bad play at 6.4. I'd happily start them at 6.4 because of the money it gives you, obviously.
So we've got lots of money now. We've got $36.7 million to spend on a running back plus another. So we can actually go for anybody here, pretty much, I think.
CMC. Put CMC in.
What does that leave us with?
13.7. So again, Nick's favourite feature, choose the affordable option. And there you go. We've got all our wide receivers and running backs we can afford in one place. Claypool would be quite a nice correlation play against Boyd and Mixon. Or you could add in Ayuk, and again, another correlation play against our cousins, with our cousins, Jefferson and Samuel. Also, somebody else, Miles Sanders again, he's affordable as well. Who do you think, Nick? Who are you voting for?
I'd completely forgotten Miles Sanders on the table, but I actually like that. I'd probably throw Miles Sanders in and go with the three running backs, three wide receivers, would be my favoured. I do still like Ayuk, but I think I'd probably play him. If I wasn't playing Samuel, I'd play Ayuk. Mm. If I was playing Jimmy, I'd probably play him. Some of the receivers we've mentioned, obviously there's reasons we like them. Claypool, I'd go Sanders. Sanders.
What about you, Jack?
Yeah, Sanders for me. I might be tempted to throw in Melvin Gordon, but yeah, for me, the smash play would be Miles Sanders here.
Great. So there we go. 800K left over. Look at that. That feel. I think I say think this every week, and I say it almost every week, but that feels like the best lineup we've done.
Oh, yeah. I actually really like it.
I'm entering it. So, I don't have to. I'm not exclusively telling you guys you can't enter it, but like,
I've already done it. Have you? I've been doing it on my phone as we've been going along. So, yeah.
So let me just quickly run through it. We've got Kirk Cousins at quarterback. We've got three running backs, Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey, and Miles Sanders. And then at wide receiver, we've got Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, and Tyler Boyd, Evan Ingram, a tight end, and the cheapest defense on the board, the Denver Broncos. I think for me, I like every pick apart from Tyler Boyd is the one which I'm just unsure about. But it's not often you can pick every player and be, 100% about them. So
we've got left like 800K. I don't think you can do much
with that. So we'll leave it as it is. So that's great. So we've actually almost done that on time as well, which is fantastic.
And a rarity for us as well.
I know, especially when there's three of us and stuff as well. So thanks for joining us tonight, Jack. Where can people find you? Where do you hang out?
You can find me on the Twitter and with the cool kids on TikTok at Jack Humphrey KM.
I didn't say it this week.
You've been saving that since you came on this screen. You've been saving that for a whole hour and 2 minutes.
You never know. With my value video this week, I might get my chest out on it. You never know, Mark. We will see. Guys, thank you for having me again. And you know, I've just really enjoyed it. Thank you.
That's been great. It's been great to have you on. Please remember to check out our exclusive 5-yard rush contest, which this week is a free roll with 5 free entries, £300 prize pool and £100 up top. You can find me at _SMRF. And Nick, over to you for some final words.
Yeah, you find me at Nick of Wigan. And just remember, guys, when you're picking your lineups, catches are for show, touchdowns are for dough. We'll see you next week.
Live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.